te adimaneo.
Hi friends, you're listening to WMUC FM College Park, and I'll be right back after a quick message.
No one man should have all that culture, but this club can, you know we got the most, FCA's got GBMs every other Thursday.
FCA at UMD.com.
That was Found Out About You by Gin Blossoms. Hi guys, this is Radio Kill the Video Star, the show where I talk about music videos every Wednesday at 7. Let's just be a bit more chill today. I'm usually like yelling or something, but like, you know, I'm tired. It's been a long week, and it's only Wednesday, so. I went to All Things Go this weekend. Totally awesome. I had the best time ever with my friend Louise. We had a blast. There were, like, ups and downs. Some parts were, like, irritating. Some parts were really, really good. I saw Joe. I saw Marina. I saw Role Model. Kesha. Who else performed? Dochi. Oh my gosh, how can I forget Dochi? Dochi literally blew it out of the water. We were so shocked at how good Dochi was. Not that we didn't expect her to be good, but she was better than, like, the good that we expected her to be, you know? Dochi has a flow that's so freaking amazing that I cannot believe that she is able to, like, I don't know. She is magnificent in her skill. She's so talented. There was a point where we looked at each other, my friend and I, and we were like, I don't care if Dochi plays that anxiety song. I will never talk trash about Dochi ever again after this concert. It was insane how good she was. I could not stop dancing. Like, my body was moving. I couldn't get my body to stop moving. I was like, and then I also looked at my friend and I was like, I like yelled at her. I was like, why is no one else dancing? Because I'm like, more people should be getting in the groove right now to this, to Dochi. Dochi's freaking insane. She's the best. Everybody else sounded great. I mean, like, there was not one note missed. Marina absolutely takes your breath away. She is stunning, like, visually and the way that her voice sounds. She's perfect. Who else was there? There was also, what's her name? The girl who sings Moral of the Story. Ash. Ash was great. Oh my goodness. She has an amazing voice. That girl can really belt. I could see her making it big someday. I mean, she already is pretty big, but, like, I could see her being, like, at the level of the artist that I'm going to be talking about today. Anything else? Lola Young wasn't there. So sad, but it's okay, you know? I get it. I mean, it's cool to, like, not, it's fine to not, like, show up. I just think that, like, maybe give me 30 of my bucks back. Like, I feel like if I was going to be promised this many artists, like, give me some of my money back. But whatever, it's fine. It is what it is. I mean, like, I'm not an inhumane person. I totally understand. Some people just need a day off. She just released an album. That's probably a ton of work. I wouldn't know. I'm not an artist. But yeah, I get it. Today, well, the song that I just played. The song that I just played was Found Out About You by Gin Blossoms. I've never heard of them. And I never heard of the song. Sorry for any Gin Blossoms fan. But I did find out about this song because I was watching The Summer I Turned Pretty. And it was on the show. I was on season 2. It was in the scene where Belly found out about something. I don't remember. I don't remember. I told my friend because I wrote off The Summer I Turned Pretty for a while because that show just, like, annoys the mess out of me sometimes. And Belly, I think she's so irritating. But I was like, let me watch it because everybody's talking about it and I hate being out of the loop. I get FOMO. So I decided to watch it. And I've noticed a habit. Like, Belly has a habit of running out of houses dramatically. And it was probably one of those scenes where she runs dramatically out of a house and goes, like, in slow motion, you know? All right, Belly. So yeah, I've been watching The Summer I Turned Pretty. I swear we're going to talk about music at some point, but, like, let me get my intro out. I've also been, like, listening to a bunch of podcasts about TV shows and stuff like that. So I'm on a TV kick. I'm on a talking about TV kick. So I've been watching The Summer I Turned Pretty, and what I wanted to do is I want to predict how I think the show is going to go, even though it's already finished. Everybody already knows how it's going to go, but I don't know how it's going to go. And I wanted to be on the record how I predicted it to know if I was right or wrong. So I finished season 2 last week, and now I'm on season 3. I'm only halfway through episode 2. And what I've seen so far, so spoiler alert, if you're somebody who watches The Summer I Turned Pretty and you're not done, pause, leave, come back later. So I'm on episode 2, and I got to the part where Belly found out that Jeremiah cheated on her, and first of all, I just thought that was so out of character for him. Like, I feel like they're trying to, ow, crap, just pulled my nose ring. Ow, that can't be good. Uh-oh. Okay, that's fine. Anyways, sorry. Pulled my nose ring and it really hurt. Okay, so I got to the part where Belly found out that Jeremiah cheated. I thought that was so out of character for Jeremiah. I think that Jeremiah has, like, this devotion to Belly that I cannot see him. I had this whole argument with my friend. But I cannot see him being someone who would cheat, let alone twice. I mean, maybe he would cheat. You know, once a cheater, always a cheater. Whatever. I don't know. You know, if you cheat, then you cheat. Like, everybody on the show cheats. Belly has cheated. That friend of hers cheated. Everyone's cheated, all right? So, like, the lines are extremely blurry at this point. But it's the fact that he cheated twice in the same weekend that I find very hard to believe. And what I felt like was happening, it felt like the show was trying to write off Jeremiah. No, I'm not a Jeremiah fan. No, I'm not Team Jeremiah. I never will be. I think that guy looks weird. That's another story. But I think that he looks weird, and I don't like the way that he, like, is, like, he's, like, obsessive with Belly. But, like, he still likes her. He's always liked her. Well, not always, but, like, he's liked her for a good amount of time. So I can't just see him, like, randomly, because he was upset and drunk one weekend, that he would go be with this girl. He would go hook up with some random girl and then do it this again in that same weekend. No, that is so not Jeremiah. Really? Really? I find that extremely hard to believe. So anyways, here's how I think the show is going to go. Because I feel them. They've been trying to write off Jeremiah. And they did it. They're trying to make it that Conrad has always been the only option. And Jennifer Lawrence said this, and I totally agree with her. Conrad is toxic. He's toxic. Yes, he is. Because he's not clear with what he wants. It's not the fact that he, like, ended up breaking up with her on prom. That I don't really care about, because his mom died, you know? I'm like, I feel like you get an excuse for breaking up with your girlfriend on prom when you're dealing with your mom's death. That's a big thing. But it's the fact that, like, he is so uncommunicative with anything after the fact. Like, if he really wanted something with her, he wouldn't be pining after her and then trying to ruin her relationship with Jeremiah. I think that that's annoying. So I find some, like, something admirable about Jeremiah in the way that he kind of just takes what he wants. He goes for it. But then again, you know, they're trying to write him off. So anyways, they had that whole part at the beginning of season two where Jeremiah said that weird line where he's like, don't ever change your hair. I already know that Belly cuts her hair this season. So I'm like, clearly they're lining this up to be a thing that, like, she retaliates against him saying, don't ever cut your hair. And then she's going to cut her hair and it's going to be, like, a big thing. So that's obviously going to happen next. And then after that, it's so annoying. She's going to get this, like, bold haircut. And maybe, here's what I'm thinking. I think it could go one of two ways. First way that it goes is that Belly goes on that trip to Paris. She goes to Paris. She has a good time. Maybe in Paris, she finds Conrad. Somehow, I don't know, somehow, Conrad's getting flown out to Paris. Conrad has a bunch of money, so who knows? Connie's in Paris. And they end up having the time of their life or something. And it's, like, weird. And, like, they're stuck in the same situation. And they have to be with each other. And then he ends up confessing his love to her. And then there's this whole, like, conflicting situation. Or, which I think will actually happen, just because I can't see them moving the entire show to Paris. Or what I think is going to happen is that Belly goes to Paris. She gets a haircut. She goes to Paris. She comes back. She's different now. She goes to Cousins, maybe. I don't know what circumstance is going to come up, but she's going to go to Cousins. Or, hang on. I'm changing my mind right on the spot. Or she decides that she's going to go to Paris, so she gets a haircut in advance. Somehow she has to go down to Cousins. She's got to go down to the beach. All the family's coming down. I think it's maybe for the, like, her mom's book talk thing. She goes down there. She reignites some things with Conrad. All the friends are there. Her brother Steven's there. Taylor's there. There's probably going to be some sort of, like, event that's going on with all the young people. I'm assuming that, like, maybe a fight will start to break out. Like, I'm predicting. At some point, Conrad is going to confess his love to Belly, and it's going to be dramatic. And I'm predicting that it's going to be in the rain. It's going to be pouring. And Conrad's going to be like, Belly, I've always loved you. I've loved you since the beginning. you know, whatever they said in Little Women, Joe, you gotta have it out. I have loved you ever since I've ever known you, Joe. You know, it's gonna be like that. That's what Conrad's gonna say. It's gonna be pouring rain, and then they're gonna have this like super dramatic kiss. And I don't know, maybe Jeremiah's gonna be like fighting to get back to her. Like maybe he's not in Cousins, maybe he's somewhere else. He's fighting like you know what to get to Belly. And that's the entire season. I'm not sure how it like gets to that point, but I see it being drawn out a lot since it's going to be like an hour and a half for every single episode. And maybe it has something to do with like work in there, because I know that Steven has a job and I know that Belly also, I don't know, like everybody's like, they're older, they're in college now. Some people have jobs, they're balancing like their professional lives and their personal lives. So maybe there's like a work party or something where things start to get heated up. Either way, there's going to be some big event, and then it's going to end up pouring rain. Someone's going to like confess their love. They're going to have some sort of dramatic fight, and it's going to end in a huge kiss. And then, I don't know, maybe something more serious. And that's the whole show. I think it's going to end on the note of marriage, because I've heard somebody give me a spoiler that has something to do with marriage. They might have lied or I might have misheard them, but I think that it's going to get somewhere like related to marriage at the end. And then they're going to be like, will they, won't they? But I think that the season is going to end very close to her being with Conrad. She won't be with him, but it's going to be very close to that. There's going to be something in the way, some type of like conflict that's affecting that. So that's my... that's my prediction for the summer I turned 40. I feel like it's not super specific, just because like I think I need to be more specific in my prediction. Okay, I'm gonna go back over it one more time, and then we're finally gonna talk about what I want to talk about today. I wanted to talk about the show. Okay, here's my full concise prediction for what's gonna happen on the summer I turned 40 season 3, because I am just now watching it after the fact and everybody has already seen it. I think that Belly's gonna get a haircut. She's going to come back, which I already knew. I knew that she gets a haircut, but she's going to get a dramatic haircut post-breakup with Jeremiah. She's going to come back to Cousins Beach, and she's going to be a different person, because now she's packing up and she's getting ready to go to Paris, right? She's a changed person. She comes down there with Taylor and Steven. And by the time she gets down there, the boys are there. They're doing some sort of event for that dead friend of hers. Everyone's there. They're having a good time. Maybe it gets late one night. Everybody gets a little bit too drunk. It starts pouring rain outside. All of a sudden, Conrad and Belly are the only ones left. Conrad has a lot of emotions. He's drunk. He's wasted. He's got things to say. He starts professing his love to her. Pouring rain. They have a huge dramatic kiss. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that happens in between here, which I'm not sure what happens. Maybe here's where the work events come into play. And then after that, there's going to be some huge fight. And that's going to be in like maybe the second to last episode of the season. And then the season finale will happen. And it's going to be Belly really loves Conrad. And Conrad really loves Belly. But there's something in the way. Maybe it's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's on his fight to get to Belly. And then finally the season's going to end. And that's where the movie's going to come out. They're going to like... describe what happens. Okay, I talked for way too long, but it's my show. I can do whatever I want, I guess. We'll find out if I'm right or not. Okay, we're gonna be talking about Kelly Clarkson and her music videos today. What better way to get started than just to get started? This is Behind These Hazel Eyes by my girl Miss Kelly Clarkson.
Seems like just yesterday, you were a part of me. I used to stand so tall, I used to be so strong. Your arms around me tight, everything felt so right. Unbreakable, like nothing could go wrong. Now I can't breathe, no I can't sleep.
Deep inside, but you won't get to see the tears I cry.
All right, that was Behind These Hazel Eyes by Kelly Clarkson. Sorry, and we're talking about Kelly Clarkson and her music videos until 8 o'clock. So let's describe this music video pretty quickly. I really enjoy this music video. I've always kind of liked it. All right, so there's two major scenes that's going on in this video. One is like a scene where Kelly Clarkson is in... she's in a wedding dress and stuff, so there's like a wedding taking place. And then the other one is where she's outside in the forest, and it's like, I'd say it's like, it looks like October. Like, it's very fall-like in the forest. The wind is blowing. It looks cold and breezy outside, but it also looks like really spooky. And that's where her band is. So there's like this part where she's singing to the camera, and then there's also this part where there's like an actual story playing out. So the music video is split. So in the part where the story's playing out, because you could just imagine that the rest of the video is just like her singing in the other scene. In this part, she's wearing this like frilly wedding dress. She's in this pinkish room. She's getting ready for the wedding. She's got her girls around her, and they're like helping her get ready. And then all of a sudden, there's like a flash of lightning outside, and this is when the chorus starts to build up, where she goes, "Here I am once again," and there's a flash of lightning outside. The girls rush to the window. They try to close it, but the door is just kind of like the wind just like blows through. All of a sudden, leaves are falling into the room, and before you know it, she's walking down the aisle in a black dress. And she's looking at somebody else's wedding that's taking place in front of her. So it's kind of like she just like magically splits into the wedding. Like first she was getting ready for the wedding, and now she's in the wedding, but she's not the bride. She's like walking down the aisle, and she's wearing a black dress, and she sees that somebody else is getting married, and she's kind of confused. She's got this look on her face that's like, what the heck is going on? But she's also singing the song. And as she's walking closer and closer, she looks and she lifts the veil, and there's some girl with dark hair underneath the veil, and she's mad confused. So as this is happening in the other scene where she's like singing to the camera in the woods, when it gets really energetic, the wind starts blowing really hard and all the leaves start picking up and flying around, and that's where it gets really exciting. So what happens after that is that she rushes out of the chapel in a wedding dress. All of a sudden she's back in a wedding dress. It's weird, right? You're confused. So she runs out the chapel, and she's in her wedding dress, and she's running through the woods. And it's very spooky woods. It's like, girl, why would you hold a wedding here in the first place? She runs out of there. And as she's singing, that's when the chorus starts like building up again. And she falls to her knees outside. Her wedding dress starts getting really disheveled and dirty, and her hair is a mess. You know, like everything is just all over the place. Then it starts pouring rain, and now she's drenched in her dress, but she's absolutely belting. And then as this is happening on the outside, on the inside of the chapel, the couple is getting married and they have their kiss. You know, it's like, you may now kiss the bride. And the girl who kisses the guy, she kind of just like looks up at the camera, in this like conniving way, like, ha ha ha, I've got him. So what we find out when she runs out into the forest and she falls to her knees is that she looks up, and when she looks up, it's Kelly Clarkson, the version of her who's outside with a band performing. So I've never seen this before in a music video, but it's like most music videos will have a story on half of it, and then on the other half of it, it's like the artist is performing a song and singing to the camera. It's literally the recipe for almost every music video ever, if it's not just the artist singing to the camera. And this, what I've never seen before, is that she allows those two worlds to meet. Like, as she's running outside and escaping the wedding and her dress gets all dirty, she falls to her knees, and when she looks up, it's the version of her who is singing the song before the camera. And I think that's really cool. I've never seen that before. And the wind is blowing, and the version of her that's like singing the song kind of looks down at herself, and she like puts her hand under her chin, and she's like, oh, you poor girl, you know, she kind of is like that. And when that happens, Kelly Clarkson gets comfortable, and she closes her eyes while she's on her knees. And when she closes her eyes and she opens them back up, all of a sudden she's back in the chapel. And that's when the song goes, "Here I am once again. And it's like, I really love that part. I thought that that part was really cool. Because it's like, she's been dreaming about something. It's like something's going to go wrong. The song is, it's very energetic, but it also has this very sour feeling to it. The phrase, here I am, once again, I'm torn into pieces. So I love Miss Kelly Clarkson. I love her. I love her music. So anyways, she opens her eyes and she's in front of the priest and she's about to get married. And something else that's really cool about this music video is that this is the most emo wedding I've ever seen in my life. Besides the fact, I don't know. It's not, okay, maybe it's not the most emo wedding, but it's a pretty 2000s emo wedding. As in, like, her dress is really, like, frilly and, like, kind of lacy and stuff. But then he's got, like, he didn't even do his hair. He just has this, like, this straight bang kind of look. And then everybody else in the wedding looks like somebody from Jennifer's Body. Like, they're all just, like, sitting there in these really dark outfits. Like, wow, we couldn't wear, like, a sundress. and then, like, it's really not a lot of people in this chapel. It's a very small chapel. There's, like, maybe 20 people in there all together. So she goes and she's about to get married when the chorus starts to pick up. The guy is like, you can feel that the priest is about to say something, and the guy pulls out a ring. He's about to put it on her finger, and all of a sudden she snatches the ring and she throws it to the ground and she starts running back down the aisle and she's leaving. Like, she takes her bouquet and she slams it on the ground in front of the girl. The girl who was sitting in the first pew was the girl who was under the veil. So you can tell this is kind of like a cheating situation. It's like she imagines that she's about to get married, but there's another girl who was taking her place. And that girl in this instance is somebody from her real life, and it's probably who was ever cheating on her. It's probably whoever he was cheating on her with. Yes. Okay. So she starts running, she starts leaving down the aisle, and I think that this part's kind of fun too. Like, when, as she goes down the aisle, she starts grabbing all the flowers from in the pews, and like, all the guests are still sitting there, so she just grabs the flowers and she starts throwing them in the air, like, you don't get flowers, and you don't get flowers, and if I'm not getting married, then you're not getting flowers. It's kind of funny and it's kind of cute. But I think it was probably really fun to record. Like, everybody's in the way, they're like, all the wedding guests are like, what's going on? Like, they all decide to take it upon themselves to come to the aid of the bride as she's, like, running back down the aisle in the opposite direction. And they're like, you can see this old lady step in front. She's like, Kelly! Like, and she demolishes the old lady like a linebacker. She's like, move! it's pretty funny once you like start to analyze it, and then she leaves and that's how the video ends. She goes, behind these hazel eyes, and then she opens the door and she's outside into, like, she steps into the light outside, and I guess she dies. Comments on this music video. Let's see. Because I used to think back in the day that this song was so girly. Now listening to it from the perspective of nowadays music, it sounds so much better and makes you miss this emo rock influence. Sure, I guess. I don't know. Is it emo rock? Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. Okay, sure, I'll buy it. Any other comments about the music video, guys? Music video. Not much. It's a very straightforward music video. It's pretty imaginative, though, also. I think it looks really cool. If this music was done, let's see, what year did this, was this put on YouTube? This was put on YouTube in 2010. If this music video was done now, it would be absolutely insane. Like, with a great production quality, this could have been a really awesome looking music video. And like, the outfits, everything is very, it is kind of like emo like in one sense, but it's also like, it also has like this 2000s flair to it. So like, she's still wearing low-waisted jeans and stuff, but she has this like lacy top on top of it. I've never seen a bride with like a smoky eye. So, like, that in itself is a really cool way to position stuff. It, to have, like, a wedding that's very dark is showing that something dark is going to happen. It's like she's It's the whole entire music video is just like foreshadowing something bad is happening here. Something like it's not a good situation. And it's reflected in the way that the wedding looks. If your wedding ever looks like that, maybe I wouldn't get married. I wouldn't get married. All right. So that was Behind These Hazel Eyes. Wow. It's going to get even sadder. I feel like I shouldn't have done it in this order, but it's Kelly Clarkson. So we're going to get even more sad. This next one is Because of You. Sorry, I couldn't tell if it was playing. This is Because of You.
I will not make the same mistakes that you did. I will not let myself cause my heart so much misery. I will not break the way you did. You felt so hard.
All right, that was Because of You by Kelly Clarkson. And we're talking about Kelly Clarkson's music. We're talking about Kelly Clarkson's music videos until 8 o'clock. Let's read this little article from NBC that just talks about what the song is about, because I could say it or I could just read it. This says, the song is from the perspective of a child growing up and pledging not to make the same emotional blunders her parents did. She sings that she will not make the same mistakes that you did, and about how guarded she is as a result of tumult during her childhood. Because of you, I learned to play on the safe side so I don't get hurt. Because of you, I find it hard to trust not only me, but everyone around me, she sings. The lyrics hint that the parents didn't give her any healthy coping mechanisms, saying, I cannot cry because I know that's weakness in your eyes. I'm forced to fake a smile, a laugh, while giving her too much responsibility, saying, "I was so young, you should have known better than to lean on me." This one says, "It's not a particularly hopeful song." That's what Kelly said. It's also quite cathartic, they said. Any more information? There was also a Reba McEntire version of this song. And there was also a Reba McEntire music video version of the song, which I did not watch. I'm going to skim through it like really, really quickly in a second. But oh, wow. She said that her biggest song worldwide is Because of You. That's crazy. I thought it would have been like Stronger or what's that other song that she has, Since You've Been Gone? You know, What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger. I feel like that's a worldwide song. I thought that everybody loved that song. Okay, I'm skimming through this video with me, Reba McEntire, right now. Oh, this is an entirely different video. Oh, it's like a girl power kind of thing. Oh, wow. And that's crazy to be doing this music video twice. It's a big song, though. All right. Let's break this down. Let's talk about this video, because there's a lot to go off of. And it reminds me a lot of what Taylor Swift did with Mine. But it's not the same. Mine and Because of You are totally different songs, but it is about, like, dealing with childhood trauma and seeing that, and then growing up and, like, having that show up in your relationship or, like, not being sure how to handle that. So we're going to walk through the music video, and I'm going to put some of my opinions in there, and then we're going to move on to the next song, because I talked way too much about The Summer I Turned Pretty. So what happens in this video? It opens on a house. It's like the suburban house, and there's a fight going on. It's Kelly Clarkson, and she's got some man in her kitchen, and I'm assuming this man is her husband. And they're having this fight, and she kind of, like, pushes him off of her. She goes to go walk out into the living room, and when she does, she walks past this photo that's sitting on the coffee table. And it's a photo of them happily with their daughter, to show that they are a happy family sometimes. But in this instance, they are not. So while this is happening, remember what I told you earlier, when there's usually in a music video, there's going to be half of it where there's a story going on and half of it is just the singer singing at the camera. The other part is Kelly Clarkson. She's singing at the camera and she's also in the house, but she's in a different part of the house. So the fight starts amping up. He grabs the photo off of the coffee table and they're walking towards the door and she's like, she's about to leave. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. They're about to leave. He grabs a photo of his family, his daughter, and he winds it up to hit her with it. Yes, the song is about abuse. Heavy subject, right? So he winds it up. Okay, first of all, I would never make light of domestic violence. But I must say, he was going to hit her with the photo, with the family photo. That's crazy. That's crazy work right there. I've never heard of that. That's insane. If this happened to her, oh, poor girl. Poor girl. So when this happens in the video, he winds up and he's about to hit her with the photo, the framed picture, and Kelly, it freezes. And Kelly turns to the camera and she's like, like, let me stop you right there. And then she starts singing the song, you know? When that part happens, she kind of, like, she gains this autonomy to, like, look at herself. There's a lot of, like, weird, like, perspectives in this video. As this is happening, so she pauses this moment in real time, and she goes to go walk towards the mirror. And when she walks towards the mirror, she sees her childhood self inside of it. And she kind of, like, this part never happens, but you can assume that she just, like, enters the mirror, and now she's walking through her childhood because this is what it reminded her of. And now she's in her childhood. And what happens in her childhood is that there's, like, this part where her younger self is, like, a lot of moments play out that reminds her of what's happening now. One of them is, like, she goes to go show a picture to her dad when she's a kid. And her dad is, like, on the phone and he just puts it to the side. Okay, sad. The next moment that plays out is that there's a woman. She's sitting at the table and there's dinner ready. It's pouring rain outside, but there's no one on the other side of the table. So we're assuming that the father didn't come to dinner and she put an effort to make dinner. So she gets up and she scrapes the dinner into the trash can. And this whole time, Kelly's, like, sitting there, standing there, but she's not actually there. She's standing there, like, in spirit. watching this memory play out with her younger self, and her younger self is just like sitting on the counter like, remember when that happened? You know, it's like that. Sorry, I accidentally like skipped way too far. There's another part where she, this whole entire time, she's like singing really hard at the camera, you know, the song starts picking up more and more. The next scene that takes place is that her father is like packing his bags and he's starting to move out the house, which you can assume that this is like a divorce situation that's going on. I skipped a scene. I'm sorry. I skipped way too far. So after that, I skipped a lot. So after the part where she sees her mom scrape the plate into the trash that no one ate, there's a part where she sees where her mom is like sitting in her bedroom and she's in a nightgown and she decides like she's going to take some pills to make the pain go away. It's not funny. It's not funny. But she goes to take the pills, and after she does it, the mom looks down and she sees that her child is standing there in the hallway watching her with her backpack on. And it's like, girl, did you even look? Did you even look? And she quickly rushes to the door and like closes the door like, you weren't supposed to see that. And I'm like, if you had peripheral vision, you would see I was about to cuss. You would see that that massive child standing in the hallway. sorry. So she rushes to the door and she slams it shut. And then the mom sits on the couch and she sits back on her bed and she starts crying. And then younger Kelly just like walks away. After this, there's a part where there's like a fight between the parents and the father like flips a table. He's pissed. And the mom just kind of like jumps back and she throws a glass at the wall. I thought that that part was really emotional. I thought that that was well done. It didn't look too goofy. And especially didn't look goofy because like there's a part where the father, he like walks up the steps afterwards. And when he walks up the steps, he passes by Kelly Clarkson and she kind of moves out the way that a child would, where it's like you have fear for your adult, for your superiors, for your parents. So I thought that that was very well done. The part after that is where the father is moving out of the house. So this is like a divorce. He's packing his bag. He's got these suitcases, and young Kelly is pulling this heavy suitcase out the house to help her dad move out. And then she's like pulling on the suitcase at one point because she's like, Dad, no, don't go, you know, like, don't go. And he's like pulling on the other side. And then he grabs her hand and he snatches it off. He's like, give me that suitcase. It's not funny. I swear, none of this is funny, but I'm watching it. It's funny. I just can't take anything seriously. So he snatches the suitcase and he drives down the road. And young Kelly Clarkson is like staring down the road. And she's like, wow, that's the day that my dad left. So after that, she runs back into the house, she races back in, and when she comes back inside, all of a sudden, she's grown up, and she's back in the situation that she started in, where her husband was, like, winding up to hit her with a family photo, and in this frozen moment, she grabs the photo out of his hands, and she, like, settles it back down, and then they just hug, and it's like, and then they hug. Oh, I didn't see this part the first time. And then this little girl, she like comes out from around the corner and she looks really sad. Like, oh, my parents were crying. My parents were fighting. And then they're like, we're fine. They just come up to her and they hug her. And it's all sweet. It's like happily ever after. She's not going to make the same mistakes as her parents. She's not going to fight. She's not going to, I don't know. She lives in a magic world where everything is holy. That's Because of You by Kelly Clarkson. It's a great music video, and it's definitely what Taylor Swift thought that she was doing with the Mind music video. The part where she was, like, running out of the house because he didn't clean a dish. I don't know. I'm not believing that Taylor... I mean, everybody has their own problems. I don't know if Taylor Swift's parents are divorced. I really don't know what she went through. But, like, it was giving, like, pampered white girl. Sorry. And I just wasn't buying it. I can believe that Kelly Clarkson... For some reason, I don't know. I don't know why I believe Kelly Clarkson more than I would Taylor Swift, but... I'm believing Kelly Clarkson more. It was a more intense music video, too. It was also about, like, actual abuse. It's about actual violence. Taylor Swift was like, we had a fight because he didn't pay the bill. It's like, just pay the bill. We have bills to pay. I'm back on this bill thing. I found that music video very, very dramatic. All right. Last music video to talk about. Let me make sure I have the right one in order. Yeah, okay. One that's more peppy. We finally have something exciting to talk about, and we're going to make it brief because I talked way too much. This is My Life Would Suck Without You by Kelly Clarkson. That was My Life Would Suck Without You by Kelly Clarkson. And we're talking about Kelly Clarkson's music videos for 9 more minutes. I'm glad I saved that music video for last because it sucked. Isn't that crazy that My Life Would Suck Without You, the music video, sucks? I'm not a hater, I promise, but I expected way more from Kelly Clarkson considering the stuff that I just watched. I just watched some like music video masterpieces and then all of a sudden I'm given this dumpster fire. I'm being really rude right now. Okay, so here's my problem with this music video. It starts off with, like, potential to, like, be something interesting, and then it gets nowhere. It just, like, it doesn't even plateau. It just, like, goes downhill from there. The music video is kind of played out like a rom-com. There's the scene, the part where Kelly Clarkson is singing to the camera is, like, her sitting on a swing and singing at the camera and being like telling the story of a relationship, a cute relationship that's worked out. And it's like, cool. And then the rest of the music video is like childhood to adulthood, what her relationship with some guy has been like. And it starts with scenes of like a little boy and a little girl on the playground. And they're like sharing stuff with each other and hugging each other. And they're like, they're being very, really cordial and enjoying each other's company. Even though she, like, I think it's, the music video started with, like, the little, young Kelly Clarkson pushing the little boy, and he, like, falls down, and it's like, what the heck, like, she a bully? But I guess they apologize or something, and then they become friends. And then, so you watch this, right, and you're like, oh, so this is gonna be the story of a cute, like, this is gonna be a cute love story. No. 90% of the music video after that is, like, some weird scene where Kelly Clarkson is in a room in an apartment with a guy, some sort of New York type swanky apartment, and they're like bickering with each other, but it's also, it's like they're bantering with each other. They're like, they're obviously in a relationship, and they're like teasing each other, and she's like throwing his stuff out of the window and like, I'm gonna drop this, ha ha ha, look at what happens when I drop this. There's like this point where she's like about to throw his goldfish out the window, and then she ends up just like throwing the bowl, but they take the fish out, and then she like throws a bunch of newspapers out the window, and then eventually they're all just, they eventually they just decide to sit on the couch and watch TV. And I'm like, what was the point of any of that? What did that tell me about your relationship? That you guys litter? I don't get what the message of that was. And the entire time that this is happening, the other scene is that Kelly Clarkson is singing at the camera, and she's not on the swing anymore. Now she's like in this room with floodlights, huge floodlights with such glare on the camera, so we can barely see like half of her face because the glare in this music video is insane. She's got these, yeah, this like ginormous spotlights behind her, not even on her, they're behind her. So they're not even like illuminating her correctly. And then there's this wind that's coming also from behind her. So like the hair is flying forward on her face, and it's giving this weird rock pop. Like it's not great. And it's not a great song even to begin with. This is not my favorite Kelly Clarkson song, but I wanted something to talk about, and apparently this was not the thing to talk about. So the other thing that happens in this music video after that, the last scene, is that she decides to go on a road trip with this guy, and they're like riding together in a Jeep somewhere, and I'm pretty sure there's like a phone ad probably in this. There's like some sort of flip phone that they show really clearly. I didn't see what brand it was though, maybe it's not a, oh, it's a Nokia. That was totally a Nokia ad. but she takes a photo of him on her Nokia, and then she flips it shut. And now there's, you know, she's singing the chorus, because we belong together now, blah, 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 blah. She's, the wind's blowing through her hair. She's having fun. She's driving down the road. And then all of a sudden, they just start bickering with each other. And they, like, swerve off the side of the road. And then they end up making out at the end of the music video. I guess the point that I was supposed to understand is that they fight, but then they make up. Like they're still, what's that? I don't know. They love each other regardless, you know? Like we fight because we love each other. It's very, like, notebooky. And I like that idea, but it doesn't come across well. It comes across really, like, weird and stupid. First of all, this love interest, I'm not sure how I feel about him. He doesn't really seem like a love interest. He looks like he came from, like, a Macy's underwear ad in maybe, like, 2008. he doesn't look like... He doesn't... I don't know. I'm not seeing, like, boyfriend material in this guy. He looks like a retired Abercrombie model, maybe. And emphasis on the retired. And they're like wearing these, you know, like in 2010 we were wearing these like business casual type outfits, and there's not chevron but close to chevron, and she's like throwing these awful t-shirts out the window. I didn't get any message from this music video. It doesn't make any sense. I'll look at the comments to see if anybody has any other ideas, but I feel like this is pretty much like This comment says this video has evoked in me many sorrows and fondle each loving memories. Okay, fondle is not the word that you want to use. This video has evoked in me many sorrows and fondle each loving memories. Fondle is not the word you want, girl. No more comments about the music video. Yeah, okay, it's because the music video sucks. Yeah, I did not expect that from Kelly Clarkson. Anything else that anyone else could say, like, that's important? Most of this episode was just me talking about The Summer I Turned Pretty. Can we just, like, I hope that my predictions for The Summer I Turned Pretty turn out to be right. I just need to think for a second. Is there anything else that, like... I'm so distracted by The Summer I Turned Pretty. I love getting obsessed with a show, because now I'm currently obsessed with that show. I love the fact that I'm like obsessed with it post-mortem too. No one's been talking about it, but I am. I'm talking about it now. I mean, everybody was talking about it, but they're not talking about it anymore. And now I'm on it. So, you know, I hope I'm correct. If there's a kissing scene in the rain, everybody owes me $20. that's my story. That's my thesis. All right, I'm going to head out of here. Thanks for listening. This is Kool-Aid by Royal Otis. Have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Be nice to people.